Welcome to Chechen, the capital of Chechen Silesia, located on the Olza River. I am going to take you for a walk to explore the nooks and crannies of one of the most beautiful Polish cities. Please leave the tourist information point and stop in front of it for a while. This is the heart of the city, Chechen Market Square. The market was founded in this place only 6 centuries ago, when Chechen already boasted a few centuries of its existence. According to a popular legend, about which you'll learn more during our stroll, Chechen was established, just imagine, in 810. If so, it would be over 1,200 years old. But the facts are a little less sensational. Archaeologists and historians claim that more than 1,000 years ago, these lands were inhabited by the Golentzisi, a Slavic tribe. They erected their strongholds here, among them one not far from where we are now, on the Castle Hill. In the course of time, a settlement from which modern Chechen evolved grew up at the bottom of the stronghold. During the formation of the Polish state by Mieszko I, the Piasts incorporated Silesia into their realm, and as a result, Chechen became an important center of power. Please go to the middle of the square and stop at the old well, which is a fountain today. At the end of the 13th century, Chechen was promoted to the seat of the ruler of the separate Duchy of Chechen, but it had soon to accept sovereignty of the King of Bohemia. The successive Piast rulers reigned over the duchy for the next 350 years. The last of them, Princess Elizabeth, died in 1653. After her death, the mighty Habsburgs, rulers of the vast Austrian Empire and, at the same time, kings of Bohemia, took over the duchy. The situation lasted until the end of World War I, after which the lands on the Olza River were divided, in dramatic circumstances, between the newly established states, Poland and Czechoslovakia. After this quick presentation of Chechen's history, it's time to take a look around the market square. We are standing next to the well with the figure of St. Florian. As early as the 15th century, when the market square was laid out, there was a water tank in this place, which was part of a water supply system providing Chechen with water from an intake station located in the mountains. The statue of St. Florian decorating the well is dated to the middle of the 18th century. As you know, this saint should protect from fires. Unfortunately, he was rather deaf to the prayers of the dwellers of Chechen. The city was often consumed by fires. That is the reason why the oldest medieval remains of the market square can be seen underground. These are cellars of the nearby buildings. And the arcade houses are remains of the Renaissance build-up area. The most spectacular buildings that I'll draw your attention to come from the last 250 years. Please take a look at the town hall from where we came here. Its present appearance results from a 19th century renovation, but inside, discerning observers will easily recognize the features of a Renaissance building. An elegant townhouse adjoins the town hall to the right. It is also an interesting construction. 100 years ago, it housed an impressive conference hall of the city council. The preserved, richly decorated interior attests to the then rank of Chechen. Now please turn your back on the town hall and take a look on the opposite frontage of the market square. Ahead of you there is a beautiful townhouse with a turret on its roof. This is the National House. The Polish inhabitants of Chechen erected it for their own needs in the first years of the last century, when the city had multinational and multi-religious character. In the autumn of 1918, the National Council of the Duchy of Chechen debated in this house. The Polish representation of the city demanded the incorporation of this part of Silesia into restored Poland, which regained independence after the partitions. Please stand facing the town hall. In the left corner of the market square, you can see the tallest building here, the Under the Brown Deer Hotel. This elegant hotel is the most expensive in the city. It was built in 1912. You can now see an interesting film about Cheshire's history in this hotel. So now I propose we learn a bit more about its history. As you already know, Cheshire originated in the vicinity at first of the wooden stronghold and then in the 14th century of the brick ducal fortress on the Castle Hill. The settlement had been growing rapidly, and in 1220 it was granted town privileges modeled on those from the town of Vuvyksłonsky. Please note that it took place earlier than in the case of Kraków. After 150 years, the town was relocated, this time according to the Magdeburg Law, which was more convenient for burghers than the one still binding. Since then, the magistrate headed by the mayor ruled the town. They operated in the town hall, which stood in another place than this present one. I'll show that place to you soon. Please now stand facing the building of the town hall. You are going to the corner of the market square on the right side. Next, you'll be walking along the street, which runs out of the square. We are leaving the market square to stroll along the narrow streets of the oldest part of the city. While strolling, please watch carefully down on the sidewalk. You'll notice a short stretch of rails and the plaque dedicated to the Cheshire trams, which had one of their stops here. But they ran here for a relatively short period of time, from 1911 to 1921. Meanwhile, you are approaching the corner of the market square. You'll go further along Głęboka Street, which means Deep Street in English. We are going along Głęboka Street. Please keep closer to its right side. The name of the street is rather unusual, and it comes from the fact that the level of the roadway was once much lower than the sidewalks. Just imagine that pedestrians used wooden footbridges to cross this street. Despite such inconveniences, the street was the main thoroughfare of the city, linking the market square with the Castle Hill. You should remember that throughout centuries, the city was strongly connected with the castle. On the left side of the street, you can see a small square and a church. It is Holy Cross Square. Please stop for a while and take a look at the church. This is St. Mary Magdalene's Church. Since 1789, the year of the most disastrous fire, it has been the seat of the Cheshire Parish. After the fire, the church was rebuilt in the Baroque style, but both outside and inside the construction, there are traces of the earlier Gothic building. The first church was erected for the Dominican order as early as the second half of the 13th century. From the beginning, they were under protection of the Dukes of Cheshire, who found their resting place in the church. In the side wall of the presbytery, one can see a funerary statue of the Piast Duke from the 14th century, most likely of Przemysław I, Noszak. I'll tell you more about this prominent ruler in a while. Now I should mention that the interior of this post-Dominican church houses, among others, the famous image of the Lady of Cheshire, which is highly venerated. Please stand so as to have the church on your left. We are going along Głęboka Street. Now I can without haste tell you about Duke Przemysław. The funerary statue depicts the Duke in full armor, but it was not his military talent that made him famous. He was an effective diplomat, one of the most important persons in the royal and imperial court in Prague in the 14th century. On behalf of the emperor, he negotiated with the King of England, traveled to France, the German countries, and Poland. He feasted on a par with the kings in Kraków at a famous banquet at the house of the Kraków merchant Mikołaj Wierzynek. Unfortunately, during his last years, he suffered from a paralysis of his legs, which made life unbearable for him. He was carried around in a sedan chair, hence he was nicknamed Noszak, which can be roughly translated as the one who is carried. He was truly a colorful figure. Please now take a closer look at the townhouses you are passing. Once, almost the entire street was lined with arcade houses. Not many have been preserved until present days. Most were replaced with impressive patrician houses from the 19th and 20th centuries. In a moment, you'll stop at one of the most beautiful houses. Please look closer at the Bordeaux building, which sets back from the sidewalk on the left side of the street, the one with a protruding bay window on the second floor and a library inside. Please stand directly in front of the facade to have a good view of the whole building. The brick house was built at the end of the 19th century. The facade was modeled on the German Renaissance style. The choice of this style was not a coincidence. Until World War I, this edifice, erected at the initiative of the German-speaking inhabitants of Cheshire, was known as the German House, or Deutsches Haus in German. It housed a German reading room and a few other organizations and associations. Additionally, there was an elegant restaurant there. At present, the city library operates in the building. You must have noticed that in such a short period of time, you've already seen two very similar buildings, the Polish and the German houses. Their existence speaks volumes about the international character of Old Cheshire, on whose streets one could hear the German, Polish, Czech, and even Hungarian or Italian languages. Please turn your back on the library and head toward the distinctly wider street ahead. This is Stary Targ Street, which means Old Market Street. As the name itself indicates, there was a medieval market square in its vicinity. The street is lined with fine townhouses, which could tell you a lot of interesting stories. Let's take, for example, the first one to the left, on the corner with Gwimboka Street. In the house which once stood in this place in the 16th century, Jerzy Czernowski was born. Who was Jerzy Czernowski? He was a Protestant priest and the author of a popular hymnal. He earned the name the Luther of the Slaves. Thanks to Czernowski, inter alia Protestants survived in Cheshire, forming together with Catholics and Jews a multi-religious character of the city. We are coming closer to the figure of the Madonna. Please stop by it for a while. Now you have an opportunity to admire a masterpiece of medieval Gothic sculpture of European rank. This is the Virgin Mary with the child, called the Madonna of Cheshire. The figure was made in the workshop of Piotr Parler in the middle of the 14th century. Piotr Parler was employed as a sculptor and builder at the erection of the famous St. Vitus Cathedral in Prague. The sculpture may have come to Cheshire thanks to the wife of Duke Przemysław Noszak. It was probably destined for the castle chapel. For ages it stood on the castle hill, and in the 19th century it was brought to Stary Targ. Interestingly, until recently, people didn't realize how precious this masterpiece was. When eventually they discovered its real value, the original was placed in the Museum of Cheshire Silesia, and a copy of the figure was set on the pedestal. Please stand facing the figure of the Virgin Mary. A bit to the left, we can see Aleksandra Frederick Street. Please go toward it and turn into it. Let me continue the story of the multi-religious Cheshire. Until the last war, during which the Germans committed the Holocaust, the Jewish community of Cheshire had been playing an important role in the city on the Olza River. Not far from here, on Bozhnitsa Street, they erected their largest synagogue in the 19th century. The first Jews who settled in Cheshire were the Singer family. Princess Elizabeth Lucretia, who is already known to you, made Jacob Singer a princely tax collector, which was a lucrative job. She allowed him to own a house at the market square, run a shop, and lend money to the burghers or noblemen. Additionally, he could freely practice his religion and even established a small cemetery. As for those times, the Piast princess was very tolerant indeed. In the 18th and 19th centuries, the number of the Chechen Jews was constantly growing, as was their importance in social and economic lives. At the turn of the 18th century, the largest Jewish companies dealt with the timber and food industries. But let's change the subject. Because after a while, to the right, you should see a large, bright building. This is the Adam Mickiewicz Theater. Please go toward its facade and stop in front of it for a while. It stands in the place where during the Middle Ages the first parish church of St. Mary Magdalene was erected. As you remember, after the Great Fire from the end of the 18th century, the seat of the parish was moved to the Dominican church. It was the least damaged and therefore the easiest to renovate. There is a square in front of the facade of the theater. Please stand so as to have a good view of the facade of the building. You must admit that as for a city of 35,000 people, the edifice of the theater is highly impressive, deserving of far larger cultural centers. It was erected here in 1910. It was the initiative of the German-speaking inhabitants of Chechen. It was designed by famous Viennese architects, and it was very modern for those times. Since its construction, until the 30s of the last century, there was a big inscription above the entrance, Deutsches Theater, or German Theater. After World War II, it was replaced with the present one, the Adam Mickiewicz Theater. Today, this institution conducts a variety of cultural activities, inviting many known artists to perform here. Interestingly, the elegant Secession and neo-Baroque interior of the theater has also attracted filmmakers. The theater played, among others, in The Promised Land, directed by Andrzej Wajda, and in a series about Helena Modrzejewska, a famous Polish actress. Please now turn your back on the facade of the theater. Straight ahead, you can see a complex of three tall townhouses. The first, to the right, the widest one, is covered with an almost flat roof. It is the so-called House of the Brudowski family. Its long-standing owners were the wealthiest and most influential Silesian noble family. Recently, the house has been renovated and enlarged so as to accommodate the Chechen Library. This scientific and scholarly library prides itself on its collection of over 130,000 books, among which there are the most precious manuscripts and incunables in Upper Silesia. Let me remind you that the incunable is a book, pamphlet, or a broadside that was printed before the year 1501, when printing was still in its infancy. These are real rarities. The pearl of the library is a collection of the priest Leopold Schiersznik, kept on the original 19th century shelves. Please look left of the described house. There is a low building with four distinctive protruding dormer windows. This building is located at Minnenicha Street, which means Mint Street in English. Please now go toward it and turn left in front of it, and next continue straight on. Minnenicha Street took its name from the ducal mint situated near the house of the Bludowski family. It is worth mentioning that during the Middle Ages, minting his own coins was evidence of the ruler's position and had a good source of income. I remind you that you should turn left in front of the short building and go into Minnenicha Street. Please go along it to the crossroads. The first independent Duke of Chechen, Mieszko, had a mentor in his court as early as the end of the 13th century. But it is difficult to say whether he was a mentor or a tax collector. The oldest preserved coin minted by the Dukes of Cheshire was the heller of Duke Shemeswaf Noshak, the figure mentioned several times during our stroll. It was minted 600 years ago. We are approaching Wimboka Street. Once you've reached it, please turn right. We've returned to Wimboka Street. Please go down this street right along the sidewalk. 100 years ago, I would have warned you, watch out for the trams. It was here that the tram car of the Städtische Straßenbahn Teschen would speed along this street from the market square to the main train station on the other bank of the Olza River. In a moment, you'll see the townhouse with number 50 to the right. It houses the Museum of Printing with its unique collection. Cheshire has a beautiful tradition of the so-called black art of printing. The first publishing house was opened as early as 1806, and the company of Tomasz Prochaska, who had come here from Prague, won international fame. In the museum, which lies on the Industrial Monuments route, one can see a preserved traditional printing office, with all of the equipment, from types to printing devices. What's important, the motto of the museum is, "You won't find the deceased at the walls." That means that all the machines can be set in motion and you can see them working. You are going further down the street to the pedestrian crossing. Let me again draw your attention to the townhouse you will be passing soon. A lot of them have very interesting, richly decorated facades. At the exit of the street, there is a bright two-story building standing on the slope of the hill. This is a hunting palace of the imperial family of the Habsburgs. It blocks the view of the castle hill, which is behind it. In front of the palace, on the rather short pedestal, we can see the figure of Nike of Cheshire, or the memorial of the fallen legionnaires, about which I'll tell you more soon. And now, at the end of Gwimboka Street, please turn left into Zamkova Street. I'll repeat, please turn left. We are now going along Zamkova Street, and you'll soon turn left into the first cross street. Ahead of you, there is a view of the bridge on the Olza River. This is the border bridge between Poland and the Czech Republic. I'll remind you, please turn left into the first cross street. It will be Shakopa Street. You can check the name on the plaque placed on the building. We are now going along Shakopa Street. In this place, I'll return to Nike of Cheshire and the dramatic events which took place after the end of World War I. This bloody conflict broke out after the collapse of Austro-Hungary. During World War I, the Poles living in Cheshire saw their city within the borders of restored Poland. They enlisted in the Silesian Legion and fought far away from their homeland together with other legionnaires commanded by Piłsudski and Haller. After 4 years of war, the state of the Habsburgs disintegrated, and Poles, Czechs, and Germans wanted to gain control over Cheshire Silesia. Initially, the strongest nations were Poland and Czechoslovakia, which came to an agreement with each other. They divided the disputed lands between themselves. Unfortunately, in 1919, the Czech Republic, taking advantage of the weakness of the Polish state, seized most of Cheshire Silesia. That move violated the earlier agreement. But the legionnaires could do nothing because they were hundreds of kilometers away on the Ukrainian front. I remind you, we are going straight ahead, keeping to the left side of the sidewalk. In 1920, when the Soviets were close to Warsaw, the Polish authorities agreed on the division of Chechen Silesia, which was favorable for the Czechs. To the right, there is a view of the belt of greenery on the Olza River, and behind it, of the Czech part of the city. The street you are going along forks out. You should take the alley running along the defensive walls to the left. After the division of Chechen Silesia, there was no love lost between the Polish state and the Czech Republic throughout the whole interwar period. Zaolzha, which is the Polish name for the disputed area on the left bank of the Olza, mostly inhabited by the Poles, was an apple of discord. In 1938, Hitler invaded Czechoslovakia, occupying its territory. This time, the Polish government took advantage of the situation and sent the army to Zaolzha. Czechin was again united, but only for a short time. After World War II, the border from 1920 was restored. You are now going along Shakopa Street, along the remains of the defensive walls to the right. On the opposite side, behind the railing, there is a small canal, which is called the Mwinówka. The defensive walls, Shakopa Street, the Mwinówka, all these places draw our attention to the remote past. Czechin was walled at the end of the Middle Ages. Over 2,000 burghers lived within its walls. It was quite a lot, taking into consideration the fact that the royal city of Kraków had 20,000 inhabitants at that time. The then inhabitants of Czechin dealt mainly with craft. Most of them also had some arable land in the very vicinity of the city. In the course of time, an old industrial district grew in this part of the city. Everything started with the building of the canal, which was dug up during the Middle Ages to provide Czechin with water from the Olza River. Additionally, the ditch became part of the moat. All those craftsmen whose trades needed water built their workshops here. So one could find cloth makers, leather workers, smiths, or towers along the canal. The latter dealt with manufacturing soft leather for gloves or other clothes. In the 19th century, during the Industrial Revolution, aside from the existing workshops, the first factories emerged along the Mwinówka. Ahead of you, you should now see the plaque with the name of the street, Mwińska Brama, and the stairs leading left uphill. Please stop here for a while, and I'll finish the story. It is said that the waters from the Mwinówka were used by the Ducal Castle Brewery, which was widely famous for producing excellent beer. The first Chechen power plant was built on the canal. It supplied power to the local train station. Please take a quick look into the depth of Shakopa Street. There are charming small bridges hanging over the Mwinówka and the alley running along it. This part of the city is called Chechen Venice. There are remains of the buildings from the 18th and 19th centuries here. These are the short houses with wooden galleries and small bridges, which once belonged to the Chechen craftsmen and which now reflect in the waters of the Mwinówka. Today, it is one of the most charming nooks of the city, which encourages you to take a romantic stroll. Artists also admire its beauty by organizing alternately the festivals, Encounters with Art in Venice, and the Biennale in Chechen Venice. During these events, tourists can see the works of contemporary painters, sculptors, and performers, or listen to the concerts. You are now going uphill, up the stairs. From the banks of the Olza and the Mwinówka, you are climbing back to the city center. The street, or rather the stairs you are going up, bear the name Mwińska Brama, which can be translated into English as the Mill Gate. Already centuries ago, the so-called Great Mill operated here. One could get to the mill from the city through the Mill Gate set in the walls. If you haven't reached the top of the stairs yet, please press pause and resume the recording at the top. Ahead of you, you can see a short, small townhouse with the number 24. Check Brachi Street, or Three Brothers Street, starts to the left of it. You'll be going up this street further. We are going up along Check Brachi Street. In this place, I'll return to the already mentioned legend about the foundation of the city. Cheshen is said to have been founded in 810. After being separated for a long time, three brothers met up by the spring which gushes out of here. The brothers bore the names Bulko, Leshko, and Cheshko. Because they were overjoyed when they saw one another, they decided to found a settlement here, which they gave the name Cheshen, which can be translated as be overjoyed. Ahead of you, you can see a tall, distinctive townhouse. To the right, opposite the house, there is a small green pavilion, which covers the legendary spring. Please stop by it for a while. In reality, this small well was created a bit later, in the Middle Ages, and supplied water to the residents and the nearby municipal brewery. It then belonged to the Dominicans, and therefore was called the Friar Well. Please continue the stroll uphill along Check Brachi Street, which is getting narrower and narrower here, passing the pavilion to your right. I'll return to the legend in a moment. Interestingly, it was diffused by Aloisi Kaufmann, the then mayor and city's chronicler, only at the beginning of the 19th century. He was to tell this story to Emperor Francis I himself during the emperor's visit to Cheshen in 1817. It is said that the well was dilapidated at that time, and therefore the ruler made a sarcastic remark, "This is such a venerable monument, but you do not venerate it properly." Now at the nearest crossroads, please turn right into Semova Street. You've reached Semova Street, but go several steps forward and turn left. You'll find yourself in Dominikinski Platz, or Dominican Square, on the other side of St. Mary Magdalene's Church, which you already saw at the beginning of our walk. So please turn left and go straight across the square. Just to the right, you can see a green corner building. And to the left, you'll soon see the church. You have already learned about the church, so I'll tell you about this green building. This townhouse was erected in the 17th century for the needs of the land tribunal and the Sejmik. The latter was a local parliament. The house replaced the previous seat of those institutions, which had burned down in a fire. I'll remind you that you are going straight across the square. The existence of the tribunal and the Sejmik brings it home to us that for a few centuries, the Duchy of Cheshen was a separate land within the vast monarchy of the Habsburgs. The subjects of the Duke of Cheshen were subject to local laws, which were enforced in the building you've just seen. Please look straight ahead at the tall white building at the end of the square, emerging from behind the church. It was erected at the end of the town hall in the first half of the 18th century. It served as a public building. Inside, it housed a redoute hall, which was a venue of official meetings, balls, and theater performances. Initially, only plays in the German language were staged here, but from the middle of the 19th century on, one could see performances of the Polish amateur theater. In 1836, another fire destroyed this edifice and the building adjoining the town hall. The remaining material from the 17th century building, which had once housed a gallows, was used for its renovation. You are slowly approaching the end of the square. Please turn left into the street between the church and the bright building. You are going along Ratuszowa Street. To the right, you are passing the old edifice, once housing the redoute hall and the theater, in which the cinema Piast operates today. To the left, you can see the buildings of St. Mary Magdalene's Church. Ahead of you, you can see a passage through the hallway of the town hall. Behind it, to the right, you will find the tourist information point, from where we started our walk. Here, our tour has come to an end. We also urge you to take part in two other tours of Cheshire. We do recommend them to you. And now let me thank you for joining the tour, which has been created thanks to the Silesian Tourist Information System and co-funded from the Regional Operational Program for the Silesian Voivodeship for 2007 to 2013. Please do not forget to return the audio device to the Tourist Information Point. Goodbye.